News. I'm Sherry Preston. First, it was the trains. Now IT systems have been the target of vandalism around France during the Olympic Games. Multiple telecommunications links have been hit, affecting fiber optics and fixed and mobile phone lines. The Park Fire in Northern California burning through 5,000 acres an hour. It has grown to be the biggest in the state of California. President Biden proposing three significant reforms to the U.S. Supreme Court, including, says ABC's Stephen Portnoy, new ethics rules.
The president is urging Congress to pass binding, enforceable ethics and conduct rules that would have the justices disclosing gifts and recusing themselves from cases in which they or their spouses have conflicts of interest.
Another proposal, term limits of 18 months for the justices and a constitutional amendment that would state that no former president is immune from criminal prosecution after leaving office. The presidential election is now less than 100 days away. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris were both out on the campaign trail over the weekend. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 100 Wisconsin local governments have applied for some of $300 million in federal COVID stimulus money. The Flexible Facility Program aims to connect libraries and other public buildings to the Internet. Awards will be announced by October. Democratic Party delegates start voting this week to formally nominate Vice President Kamala Harris to be their nominee for president. Senator Tammy Baldwin is pushing back on the suggestion that President Biden was pushed aside by big donors and party elites.
Just average people were coming up, and they so respect the work that Joe Biden has done. But they were conveying to me that they appreciate his work, and they asked him to step aside.
Baldwin speaking on WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Children in a camper with a suspected drunk driver managed to get other drivers on the road to call 911. Officials from the Wisconsin State Patrol say the RV was driving erratically on the interstate Wednesday night. When other drivers looked, they saw children in the back seat, and those children signaled for them to call 911. When they did, authorities caught up with the camper and did a high-risk traffic stop. Wisconsin State Patrol says the 57-year-old man was towing a camper with the children inside of it when he was arrested in Madison. The incident started at the Kalahari Resort in Lake Delton, and when the man allegedly had a fight with his girlfriend and left with all the children, Lake Delton police say the man is not being charged with kidnapping since there was no effort to steal the children, all of whom were released to relatives. The driver was arrested for OWI with minors in the car. Sunny and pleasant today with a high of 83. Tonight, clear and mild, a low of 59. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Jordan Love on his record-breaking contract. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL in Green Bay. The Packers held practice in pads as training camp enters its second week. Jordan Love completing a 47-yard pass to Christian Watson on his first day back after signing a contract making him the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history. Love told me the talks began back in May. I asked him what was it like when he didn't have a deal at the start of camp.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been the waiting game these past couple of days. I'm just trying to be patient. But knowing that it was going to get done here soon. But yeah, I mean, right after we got done, you know, my agents FaceTimed me and gave me the news and broke to me. So it was a very special day hearing that and just going through the whole motions of, you know, obviously getting a contract, being able to be here, and then just obviously being able to get back on the field with the guys. So it was definitely a very special day.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Atlanta Braves. Colin Ray on the mound for Milwaukee. Devin Williams back as the closer. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 84, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says.
Avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, have you heard of the recombobulation area? Well, Dan Schaefer's sitting in the host chair, folks. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the center, WRCE.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How was your weekend?
Man, what a spectacular weekend. You know, we talked a little bit about the city of Milwaukee and Sandy and I on Friday and all of the different activities and events that took place flawlessly downtown Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And to be able to have 400,000 or more people, you know, make it downtown and all the traffic and all of those things was just an amazing thing, man. The air and water show, which is, you know, just an unbelievable event to pull off itself. The Harley Davidson, you know, event, the, you know, German Fest. And Friday there was this beer thing. I forgot what it was called, but it clearly brought a whole lot of people down to the lakefront in addition to a couple other things that were going on. And I'll tell you something, the city of Milwaukee is on fire. It clearly is, you know, it's able to pull these events off one after another. And I've been a resident of the city my entire life. As I've watched, you know, what we've been able to accomplish as a city, the future of Milwaukee is extremely bright. A new mayor, young man, 37 years old, Cavalier Johnson, who is looking to expand the population of the city of Milwaukee to 1 million. You know, when I was a young boy, Milwaukee was one of the, I don't know, I think we might have been ranked the 9th largest city in the nation. We certainly have taken a tumble over the last, you know, 20, 25 years. But, you know, clearly is on an upward trajectory. Let me go to the phones. Let's go to Julie from Jackson. Good morning. You say what?
Hi, good morning, Earl. So I'm glad that you brought that up. I went down to the Air and Water Show with my family on Saturday, and it was so refreshing to see all these people down there, there was no, everybody was happy. Nobody, you know, getting into arguments about the traffic. Like when we left, it took us an hour just to get out of the parking lot because there was so much going on down there. Nobody getting mad, nobody honking their horns at each other, nobody wearing anything with political, there was no MAGA hats, no nothing. It was just a bunch of, you know, Wisconsin, Milwaukeeans, Americans, and, you know, enjoying a summer day in their city. It was awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the air and water show, but I will tell you that the people who were at German Fest will echo the exact same thing. The people from Harley-Davidson people will echo those same sentiments. And so, you know, as a guy, who, again, who has lived in Milwaukee my entire life, I constantly push back on the narrative about what Milwaukee is. And so people who don't come to Milwaukee have a lot of things to say about Milwaukee, and they've never even visited it. But if they visited it, they would see. And don't, I mean, you know, Summerfest is another one of those examples. You know, Milwaukee is a top flight city. And so it's right here in the state of Wisconsin, and I just think it doesn't get us just desserts. And people don't talk about it enough.
No, yeah, I agree with you. It's a great city. It's beautiful. But you know, once again, I think it's people don't, you know, it's what you hear or what they read, or they see a crime report or, you know, something, and then they just make a judgment.
And Milwaukee's lakefront is one of the most beautiful in the entire nation. You know, that lakefront, and I've said this now for over 20 years, if Milwaukee would build on the lakefront, there's so much of it, Milwaukee would put itself in an arena that would talk about Milwaukee globally. There's more than enough space and room that if Milwaukee would decide to, you know, do some things on the lakefront, it would put Milwaukee, it's already on the map, but on a broader scale. Thank you very much for the call, Julie. I appreciate it. We got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about this morning. I'm awaiting my guest, Dr. Lakeisha Myers, state rep representing the 12th Senate Assembly District of the City of Milwaukee and Wauwatosa and Brown Deer and some other places. She's having some you know, stuck in traffic somewhere, but she's clearly on her way. We're going to have a great conversation about a lot of different things. I'm also going to touch on a whole lot of different things that went on and things that were said. Donald Trump, once again, said some outlandish things that, you know, really should not be accepted. Clearly should not be accepted. And I still, for the life of me, don't understand why a person can say the things that he says and get away with it, and that the news media doesn't push back and say, hey, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Well, yeah, I'm going to ask those questions this morning. What did he mean by that? J.D. Vance, another guy making outlandish statements that clearly point to how they plan on governing. And I just, for the life of me, don't understand why media isn't strong enough in its responses to those outlandish statements that are being said. Now, if if any Democrat would make as outlandish of statements as what Donald Trump said over the weekend, and that J.D. Vance said, you know, months ago, but then reiterated on, you know, Fox News. So for people who may say, well, he said that a long time ago, he doubled down on it last night on Trey Gowdy's show on Fox News. I know I saw him. I heard it. And you just have to ask the questions where this is all headed. But I'd also say this. Calvin, it's almost August, man. Man, what happened to June and July?
I know. Time's flying. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, if it's because of the crazy news cycle.
Because you're getting older. Hey, man. Hey, 25.
Hey, you know what they say. Today is the oldest I've ever been and the youngest I'll ever be.
You know, I would say to you, Calvin, that, yeah, it's gone, right? June and July, May, June, and July are already gone. And so, you know, just hard for me to fathom. Let's go to Allie from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Allie. You say what?
Good morning. Just tuned in. I heard you talking about how beautiful the city is. I agree, but going up and down, driving up and down Fond du Lac Avenue in Milwaukee and other areas in the inner city, who is it that we talk to about cutting the weeds, the look of the boulevards? Sometimes I want to get out and start pulling weeds and cutting things down. But I know, is it the mayor, is it the city, or is it Milwaukee County? Because someone needs to do something. I don't know why the alder people, the county supervisors, whosever job it is, to come together and beautify the rest of Milwaukee. I don't see why they can't come together and just do it. It's horrible out there. There are people on the street that are asking for help. Why not try and get some rakes and weed cutters or whatever and start just beautifying the inner city? I don't get that for the life of me. I know years ago you used to have a group on another station. You had a group of people that would come on, different everyday people that would come on and get recognized for, sweeping their blocks, just coming out, picking up garbage. I see people doing that all the time, just everyday people, homeowners, and some renters. So can you address that?
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, I used to, again, as you stated on another station, I would bring in ordinary people who would be doing things in the community. And I think I need to get back to that because ordinary people are the ones who make the difference. I guess when we come back, we'll be joined by State Representative Lakeisha Myers. And we can talk a little bit about those things. 844-967-2789. You've entered a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm going to Chicago. That's the last place my baby stays.
Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest has joined me, Dr. Lakeisha Myers. She is a state rep in District Assembly, District Number 12. Good morning to you, Dr. Myers. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thank you for having me this morning.
It's always great to have you. You've been doing great things most of your adult life. Representative Myers is a former educator with the Milwaukee Public Schools. Her responsibilities included serving as a school support coach and modeling instructional leadership for the district, once directly serving the district's premier alternative education center. Dr. Myers believes in serving the students that have the greatest challenges. Previously, she served as educational director for Wisconsin Department of Corrections. In this post, she served as the administrator of Oakview School and as the chief education consultant to the warden at Oak Hill Correctional Institute. In this position, she was responsible for educating adjudicated individuals as they prepare to reenter society. Prior to this, she served for 8 years as an instructional lead teacher, curriculum specialist. Well, so at Prince George County, well, that's your public school involvement, but yep. You also have been connected politically in D.C.
In D.C., yes.
Go ahead.
In Congress, I started off working for Congressman Danny Davis. It's a long time ago now, back in the, I believe it was the 110th Congress.
Right.
I worked for him. And in that time when I was in D.C. teaching, I would also be a contractor for different members of Congress. So I've worked on issues and ideas for different committees. Sheila Jackson Lee, who recently passed, had the opportunity to work with her and her staff on committee issues that they had. Henry Waxman, it was a couple of different folks that I've worked for in that respect.
You also have been a state representative now for how long?
6 years.
Also worked under former state Senator Lena Taylor for a number of years.
Yes, Lena gave me my first job out of college. So I've worked for her before I actually went on to work for Congress. So after I graduated from college, I come back to Milwaukee and was working, and I, by happenstance, met her, I think, at an Urban League event, and was like, oh, I'm looking for a job. You know, I'll do anything in your office. I just wanted to be around politics. As a political science major, I wanted to get my foot in the door, and she was like, no, I need you, to work in my office. So I started off working on constituent relations issues in her office, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So you're running for state senate. You're running for the seat.
Yes.
That former state senator Lena Taylor left once she became a judge.
Yes.
And let's talk a little bit about the campaign.
Campaign is going well. We are, about 19 days out now. It's August 13th is the election date. So early voting starts for folks on July 30th. We are encouraging everybody to go out and vote, making sure that they have their voice heard on the issues. I'm looking to become your next senator. I think I have the ability, the skill set, and the gumption, because following Lena is a difficult act. I will say that, because she was everywhere and had her hand and foot probably in everything when it came to looking at issues for the community. She realistically looked at how to improve, you know, the livelihood of folks across the state.
So let me ask you, for the last 15 years or so, well, not last 15 years, because the governor's been around for going on five. Mm-hmm. The state legislature mm-hmm. has been or was, well, still no, has is. Been controlled.
Yeah, by Republicans.
By Republicans. And right now, we're looking at a time where two-thirds of the state assembly is either retiring or going to be replaced. How has it been working as a minority group, Democrats, at the state level? And how has that impacted the way you think you could possibly govern on the Senate level?
Well, I will say, yes, being deep in the minority has been difficult. It is frustrating when you draft bills that you know may not get a public hearing. It is difficult to draft bills and have to jockey for hearings and for even recognition and making sure that you actually get something passed. I've been fortunate that I've had four bills passed into law. Some of them I've had to, you know, present more than once in order to have presented, and all of them have had Republican support in order to make it across the finish line. The governor has been very adamant about making sure that he had bipartisanship on anything that we pass. Now, we have days in the legislature where we know is going to be a day I call for kicks and giggles. And that means that we know these bills are not going to pass, because thank God we have a Democratic governor who would not allow things like anti-diversity bills to pass, anti-trans legislation to pass. But we go through the motions of these hearings and have public input, and you see the public come to Madison to have their voice heard. And then we go to the initial voting process in committee and have them pass like, oh, well, these are great bills. No, they're not. So we go through the motions of creating laws a lot of times, and we know that the public is being ignored. But we still go through the motions because we want to present all of those arguments and have them on file and on record as folks having spoken up and lobbied against and doing all of those things. So I think that process is still important to have us go through, to just to see how ridiculous some of the things are that have come up. So I think it's a healthy dose of understanding the enemy's playbook, if you will, and going through these motions, but understanding that there was a stopgap, and, you know, with us not having a supermajority in the assembly and holding the governor's veto line. So I think those things are very, very important. To transition to the Senate, I think you see in the beginning of your question, Earl, was that you saw a lot of people retiring. The impetus for that retirement is because we have different maps
right.
that exist.
Absolutely.
So people are like, oh, this is no longer going to be fun for us anymore. We can't just push through what we want. We have to actually talk to them now, because there's no longer just the stopgap of having the governor. You now will have more competitive seats in the assembly. There are 99 seats that are up for negotiation come August and then in November. So I think there is a great potential to have a Democratic majority in the assembly, and that there will cause the time for us to have some better conversation and have to have some good negotiation come next legislative session. So I think that causes me to be hopeful.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I'm joined by Dr. Lakeisha Myers. She is a candidate for a Senate seat.
District 4.
844-967-2789 on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
News from from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A study committee is looking into possibly regulating artificial intelligence in Wisconsin. The goal is to ensure AI doesn't harm consumers or data. Look for public hearings around the state. You're likely hearing more about Project 2025. It's a sweeping far-right plan which calls for everything from replacing civil servants with political appointees to dismantling the Department of Education. David Nevins publishes The Fulcrum, which is analyzing Project 2025.
The cross-partisan approach that we believe in some cases, the federal government can do certain things more effectively, in some cases, not as effectively. And that's the discussion we need to have as a nation.
Donald Trump has denied knowing much about Project 2025, even though most of its authors served in his former administration. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Things are coming along at the Lone Rock Bridge project. On the South Bridge, both concrete deck pours have been completed. Currently, work is being done on the parapets, and work will continue into mid to late August. Workers plan to have all the formwork removed by early September, and finishing and staining will continue throughout most of September. The grading crew has scheduled week of August 5th to place the remaining base aggregate on Wisconsin 130 Long Island and the new Wisconsin 130-133 intersection. The concrete crew has also scheduled week of August 5th, where Wisconsin 130 curb and gutter sections and bridge approach slab at the new Wisconsin 130-133 intersection. The asphalt crew has scheduled the week of August 12th to pave Wisconsin 130 Long Island. The south channel of the Riverway will remain closed and the north channel will remain open. After mussel relocation is completed, crews will start placing rock causeways in the river along the existing bridges for demolition access. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're tired of Ryan Reynolds as a good guy stories, this won't help. Leslie Uggams, who was working as an actress before Reynolds was born, plays his sidekick in the new film Deadpool and Wolverine. The 81-year-old actress says Reynolds made her feel safe in the new high-octane Marvel flick. Uggams plays foul-mouthed blind Al a long way from her Emmy-winning role of Kizzy in the miniseries Roots in 1977. Deadpool and Wolverine opened this past weekend in theaters. The lovable Natalie from Facts of Life, also known as Mindy Cohen, has a beef with former castmates. The New York Post reports that a Facts of Life revival was 86th by one of the cast members. According to Cohen, TV legend Norman Lear approached the four actresses about reuniting for a reboot. The meetings took place over Zoom during COVID. Cohen said one of the actresses went behind the other's backs and tried to set up her own deal for her own show. The Post says Cohen did not specify which cast member it was. I really hope it wasn't Tootie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 84, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 68. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms at a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alma Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah, it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the organization Parents as Teachers, what that would mean for you, mom and dad, and your kids. Plus, all the news from the weekend. We'll recap it. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
To a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Lakeisha Myers. She is presently in Assembly District Number 12, and she's running for State Senate District Number 4. So Senator, I'm sorry.
Hey, your mouth
Representative Myers. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the battles. Right now, Republicans control, the Senate 22-10. Mm-hmm. When you win, and, you know, you will become, again, not a strong, but decidedly undermanned Senate. You know, opposition to 22 Republicans. How do you navigate that? I mean, you know, I told you before, I couldn't do it, right? Not without some boxing gloves.
Well, right? I got boxing gloves, but, you know, I think you have to understand what people need, and that is effectiveness. So being effective can also mean not always getting everything that you want, but also being a part of the answer to make legislation palatable, as palatable as it could be, and not as bad as it could be as well. So a lot of times I've been a buffer on legislative measures that would have otherwise been detrimental to the community. So that's also a part of the job. And it's a big part of the job being in the minority. One of the things I'm looking forward to, if I'm elected to be a senator, would be joining the Joint Finance Committee, because I think we need strong leadership from the greater Milwaukee area to be on the Joint Finance Committee and help making some of the decisions that direct our budget. When you looked at a lot of the decision-making pieces that happen, the budget is one of the biggest pieces. And right now, as an assembly member, I'm not on joint finance. I only have the decision to vote the budget up or down when it's already been deliberated and you know, all of the decisions have been made and all of the real conversations happen on the committee front, and they're already deciding where funds are going to go. And I think that's something that's a bigger piece of the pie that I want to get involved in. I want to get in there and actually I read the state budget every year, but I'm like, ooh, these are good suggestions. But I have to give them to folks like Evan Goyke and other people who are on joint finance. And now losing an Evan to be the, you know, city attorney and all of these different things, people are moved around. Now it becomes an opportunity to step up and be in there in the trenches and make some of those decisions. So that is a lot of what I want to do as well. So it's power in being in the minority, but it's also part of that is being a buffer so that you don't have just full on, you know, people running over the city of Milwaukee and running over really southeastern Wisconsin.
Well, you know, I've watched the city of Milwaukee, especially central city of Milwaukee, take mm-hmm. just some horrible hits.
Absolutely.
At the legislative level. Some horrible things being said, cutting off resources.
Right.
To the city. Again, I talked about how great our city is, but there's certainly people who have made our city the boogeyman.
Absolutely.
Across the state.
Absolutely.
And so, especially when it comes to finances. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at sometimes where our city has been choked off, especially in our community, mm-hmm. and you hear people from different parts of the state who somehow believe that the city of Milwaukee, especially our community, is getting all of these resources. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Yes.
How do you handle that discussion?
I handle it factually, and I handle it like I would explain something to my students in the classroom. You cannot cut off your nose to spite your face. And that is what a lot of times the Republican Party tries to do with the city of Milwaukee. We are the economic engine of the state of Wisconsin.
And always will.
And always will be.
Always have been.
Always have been.
Right.
We have the most people. You need to understand that if you didn't have Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, there would be no economic success that comes to Wisconsin. Every other county would have to pull together to do the numbers that Milwaukee does by itself. So I think when you understand that and understand the ability, people called in, you talked about when you first started the show, talking about going downtown Milwaukee. There is nobody else who could host even an RNC. They couldn't host it anywhere else. They had to come to Milwaukee to do it. You cannot host major events. We're going after all-star games, and that you could not simultaneously run the Air and Water Show, the Summerfest, whatever fest is happening on the Summerfest grounds, simultaneously with all of the things that go on in Milwaukee. You need Milwaukee to do that and to make those functions run. And I think we need to understand that. And to do that, you have to understand the diversity of Milwaukee and embrace that and know that that's good for business, because you can't host it anywhere otherwise. Other places have good venues to do it, but they will never do the numbers that you can do in the city of Milwaukee. So I think that is something that we have to understand and appreciate that and embrace that and actually give Milwaukee the resources to do more so that we can grow as a state. We are behind the times when you think about our infrastructure and transportation services. By not allowing regional transit, that's one of the issues that I'm very passionate about, making sure that we have regional transit infrastructure in the city of Milwaukee to get folks to Madison. We shouldn't have to have people driving back and forth to Madison every day or taking the Badger bus. There should be high-speed rail going to Madison.
Well, Scott Walker killed it.
Well, yeah.
Milwaukee is a tier one city.
It is.
Make no mistake about it. Regardless of what people think across the state, Milwaukee is a tier one city. And we have
to fund it as such.
Yes.
We have to embrace it as such and do the things that we need to do. We are very, very behind on certain things. And you can see that as we try to compete for larger events and different things like that. We have to have a better transportation infrastructure to get people back and forth.
Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about the two constitutional amendments that were pushed into August?
Hey, Jack, you must be reading my notes, but you're ahead of the game, but go ahead. That's all right. Go ahead.
Well, right. One of those is basically it says that even if it passes both houses of our legislature and the government signs the bill, funding still can be held up because it has to be approved again, specifically by the legislature, if I understand it correctly.
That is correct.
We already have that. That this Joint Finance Committee is holding up tens of millions of dollars designed to keep people from being poisoned by PFAS in their water, among other things. That's a very, very dangerous amendment, and it just allows the legislature once again to say, yeah, we're going to penalize Milwaukee because they don't vote 100% Republican. I mean, that's the essence of it, and it's an outrage to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Jack. As always, so you want to respond to Dr. Myers?
I would say that Jack is right on the money. When you look at these two constitutional amendments, these are nothing more than power grabs to give more power to the state legislature. We have checks and balances for a reason. We have a chief executive who is there for a reason. This is an attempt to say, oh, well, since Tony Evers is the governor now, we don't want him to have the ability to receive money from the federal government and to distribute it equitably across the state so that other that the folks can have the opportunity to give resources. If COVID 2.0 were to happen tomorrow and we were have to, you know, re-implement some of the things we had during the pandemic, we know that funds would come from the federal government to the state. But with if this if these two referenda were to pass, that would mean you would usurp the aspect of the money coming directly from the state going to the governor for distribution, which would be a quicker process. The legislature then would act as a middleman and say, well, we need to approve programs and where this funding would go and how this would be distributed, which takes longer. It keeps resources from people who need it and people who are on the grassroots and on the ground doing this work. But it would also create another stopgap for funding and whatever other resources to get to folks that actually need it. We don't need to do that. He's correct. The Joint Finance Committee is already doing enough where you can be anonymous, not even say who you are and have it published. So it can be withheld from the record who you are. You know, the PFAS issue was one that it was anonymously held up. So we don't even know who the senator or representative was that was holding up funding to get people clean drinking water.
And the real tragedy in that is that rural America, rural Wisconsin, are the ones who are suffering because of the lack of legislation.
Exactly.
And these are the people they elected. Exactly. They don't know.
People who vote against their interests a lot of the time.
So this constantly has been a problem with me ever since the Republicans put Scott Walker in power and gave Scott Walker power that the governor before him, Jim Doyle, never had.
Exactly.
They were able to create, and this was something that was done across the nation. Republicans came into power. They understood the importance of controlling state houses. And they planned this out, and the Democrats weren't able to
thwart it. They weren't.
And so it's part of the reason why we're fighting the battle that we've been fighting, because Republicans came together with this master plan that has done major damage to people. What do you say to people like those in my listening audience who think that the Democrats and what the Democrats are doing, especially on the state level, does not benefit rural Wisconsin, and that the city is taking and getting all the financial support and taking it away from rural Wisconsin? What do you say to people who say those things?
Well, I would say,
like Republicans who say
like
those things.
Folks say, yeah, people get too much. I would say that one of the reasons that suburban areas and rural areas are continuing to thrive is because of programs like shared revenue, where you can distribute funding to other districts that do not put in as many resources as they utilize. So we have to look at that. So we have this system of shared revenue, which is supposed to be some sort of equitable distribution that works in theory. It has not worked or kept pace with how it's supposed to work, in my opinion, for many, many years, especially when you look at what larger cities who produce more get back. I think there's a way for us to fix that if we do right by folks who actually put in and distribute the wealth, if you will, more equitably. There's a way for us to get to that. But I also think that part of the issue is not utilizing resources across the state. When I look at folks who have jobs, or like dairy farmers, folks, you know, you don't want all these commercial dairy farms and folks going out of business, family businesses, all of those things. We have to start utilizing space that we have in the city centers or closer into the city so that we can actually get more work for folks that live in rural areas. So I think there has to be some collaboration with job opportunities. They have job opportunities, but don't have the people. We got the people and don't have the job opportunities. So there has to be more collaboration to do that.
All right, 844-967-2789, a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Dr. Lakeisha Myers. She's a candidate for Senate in District Number 4. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Holding on, hey, 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 holding on.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, of course, deep down inside he was hurt because he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely paid the bills we made. Old life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulder, and in tears he said, Patches.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. At that same number, my guest is Dr. Lakeisha Myers. She is right now state rep out of Assembly District number 12. She's running for state senate in District number 4. Let me ask you, Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. as a black woman in at the state level, you know, in the state of Wisconsin, I keep saying this, black people make up 5% of the overall population of the state, just 5%. Mm-hmm. And you look around and you see just how, you know, we're not represented, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we can never be equal because it's only 5% of the population. And then you look nationally, we make up 12 to 14% of the population. Mm-hmm. And then you look and see a woman, a black woman, like Kamala Harris. And can you imagine what she's going to be going through? The horrible attacks that are already being leveled.
Yeah, they're already being
against
leveled.
Her that people Absolutely. Don't really know the N-word.
Yeah.
All sorts of horrible, horrible things are being said that not being publicized, right? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts as a woman and as a black woman in 2024 mm-hmm. when you see these things happening?
I think it's par for the course because this is America.
Yeah, that's what
I'm just
going to
be honest. I think it's par for the course because this is America. There is a healthy fear. Unhealthy. It's an unhealthy fear. But I think that there are people who are fearful of losing the last vestiges of power that they feel they have, I guess. When you see people of color, you know, ascending to different positions in government, that is the same fear that you know, people had with, I believe there was some folks on the opposite end who did not vote for President Obama. There was the same thing like, oh, you know, although with President Obama, I think there was on some way, shape, or form, there were people who thought that, like, racism was over with him.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know how they got to that point. I think because it's not. But I think you
and never will be
to a certain extent. Right. You know, Coretta Scott King talked about having to fight for freedoms and acceptance each generation. It's just
every day
of your life for that is the black part of the black experience, part of the person of color experience in this country is looking for avenues and ways. We should not still have the first anything in 2024, but here we are with the American experiment that was built on colonialism and, you know, racism and all of these things. So you still have to fight your way out of that. And it's only been, what, 240 some odd years that we've existed. So we still have a long way to go. You don't get there overnight because it did not happen overnight. So I think that's why I'm aware of it and understand it. But I think she is prepared for it. She understood working in a predominantly male-dominated field. There have not been that many women, and especially African-American women or women of color, period, that have worked in, you know, as top cops in a state, you know, that have been attorneys general. That number is very, very low. So I think she understands and has the shielding necessary in the skin that's necessary
especially in the largest state in the union.
It's California. Right, right. So I'm like, okay. You know, people always like, oh, liberal California. Well, I think you still have to deal with things in California. They also had Arnold Schwarzenegger as a governor. So that's the whole situation there. So think about those things that exist as well. But I think she is the perfect person to have gone through all that she's gone through to be able to navigate these waters as well as, you know, to hopefully become the first female president and become the first female president of color.
Well, so, you know, it's one thing to deal with the racial aspects mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah.
But then the sexism.
Oh, absolutely. I think when you think about people like J.D. Vance saying, you know, she's a childless cat woman or, you know, discounting the, you know, the fact that
DEI hire.
Yeah. DEI stands for definitely earned it. I'm going to tell you that because, you know, having my mother gave me the same speech, just like I'm sure Kamala's parents gave her. You got to be twice as good to get half as much. And so that meant being excellent at what you do, making sure that you, you know, work hard, making sure that you basically go through life pretty much unscathed to get to this point and not have mistakes that others are allowed to make, you know, that will cost you more in your career trajectory than other people had to do. So, yeah, DEI definitely earned it. She did. She's earned the right to be in this position to run this race and to be our next president. So I think that is most definitely fair to assume that she's, you know, prepared for all these things.
Is it safe to say other women that you know are energized and excited about the prospects of Vice President Harris being where she is?
Absolutely. And most definitely. I was on that call of 44,000, you know, black women that were there, you know, to support and raise money for her. And then you saw men, you know, taking their turn and women breaking Zoom and doing all these things. So there is most definitely, this was the shot in the arm that the party needed as far as new blood. She's young, you know, a person that's 59 years old.
Dynamic,
has the credentials to be the president. It's something that is most definitely appealing to younger people, to women, to folks of color, to all of the trajectories and the constituencies that exist under the big tent of the Democratic Party. And I think in the country, because we are becoming a country of people of color, and this is what we needed.
All right. You got a minute?
I do. I'm here.
All right. So 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm joined by Dr. Lakeisha Meyer. She is Assembly District Number 12, and she's running for District 4 State Senate. 844-967-2789 on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran. And stand-up comedian Zane Lamprey joins me to discuss upcoming dates on the Wisconsin leg of his national tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.